Hi, I wanted to introduce the Messiah Court, and I put the Enneagram of Marco Rodin on the top of the homepage for those of you who maybe want to delve into Rodin's work, which is Vortex Mathematics. Now, my discovery was done, and my research was done independent of his, and his independent of mine. And yet there are some amazing similarities. So by studying his mathematical model, and look on YouTube for his interviews and lectures, the late Marco Rodin, M-A-R-K-O-R-O-D-I-N, his torchbearer, Randy Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, also has some lectures on YouTube. So check both of them out. My model is so similar to theirs in a number of ways, but there are some differences. So this began 6 or 7 years ago when I got the idea, what happens when we merge there's only three chords in music, the major chord, minor chord, and diminished seventh minor chord. So I began to wonder, what happens when we try to merge these chords together? So I did that, and that's when I discovered the Messiah Chord. And I also discovered what I used the term for it and called the chasm. And to my amazement that I had found out that someone else had done the same research I did, but from a completely different world, a completely different perspective and purpose, nonetheless, there are so many similarities here. Well, my chasm, if you look at Rodin's model of the Enneagram, my chasm is in the same place as his is on the Enneagram. I think mine might be slightly further down. Mine is between the fours. I think his is between, I'm just going from memory, a little bit maybe between the threes and the fours in that way. But they're basically the same location, but they're perfectly below the nine. And this is an amazing thing as well. The two people, independent of each other, can come up with the same thing, basically. One difference is that he uses four on each side. If you look on the right, he has nine at the top, and he has four on each side. So, whereas I have zero on the top, so it's another difference here. But he has four on each side, so he goes, you know, one through eight. Whereas I have one through four on one side, one through four on the other side. So there's a difference there. He also has the three and the six oscillating. I do not. I have a three on each side. There's no six on either side on my model. What's interesting, though, is that my model has the major and minor chords, which themselves are polarities. Of course, the minor chord being, you know, we'll say, yeah, so there's a polarity there. So he has the oscillation between the three and the six. And then within the major chord and the minor chord, you also have a polarity, because a major chord has minor third and a major third. A minor chord also has a major third and a minor third. So there's polarity within the polarity. So the diminished seventh minor chord has four minor thirds, and the final third must be eliminated. And This idea of three forces found in many other ways. For example, when a woman is pregnant, in her pregnancy year, there are 12 months, but three of those months are eliminated, because after the baby is born, after 9 months, you don't say to those remaining 9 months, she doesn't say, get out of my life, you're remaining 3 months, I don't need you anymore, I don't want to see you. No. There's no violence, there's no forcing here. They're just quietly put to the wayside. You're just not needed. So that's how it is with the fourth minor third of the diminished seventh minor chord, which, by the way, is theoretically impossible, because in physics, you can't, for example, the lowest molecule, the smallest atom is hydrogen, which consists of one proton, one electron, but no neutron. The next complex atom is deuterium, which is one proton, one electron, and one neutron. But nothing can be reduced lower than hydrogen. If you try to destroy the hydrogen atom, you annihilate everything. Nothing material can exist, because everything is built out of hydrogen. You cannot destroy a hydrogen molecule without, I mean, it's like trying to separate the two halves of a coin. You don't have a coin anymore. It's impossible. It self-destructs everything. So you can't have an atom that has two electrons only. That's an impossibility. Well, you imagine an atom that has four electrons only. That's ridiculous. But that's what we see in music. Now, one of these has to be eliminated. It's just one of these things. So we see the same thing in the, if you click the diagram, the tarot one, I believe it is. I laid out the major arcana, which is 22 cards. I laid them out, two rows of nine. In other words, these are polarities. One is a polarity, two is a polarity, three is a polarity. In the material realm, they are polarities, not in the spiritual realm. I'll get into that later. So you have nine, but then you have a final three after those nine. There's actually four cards left, but the fourth one is a zero. In mathematics, at least in esoteric mathematics, a zero does not exist. And when you get into like reduction, gematria and reduction, zero does not exist. Because remember, in the material realm, zero is not a polarity. This creates another anomaly, because in the key signatures you have zero, as in zero sharps and zero flats, yet C minor and its relative major is a polarity, is it not? So let me get back to this now. The idea of three-fourths, you'll find this in the zodiac. You find it, so even in the major arcana, you have the three, they have the nine, which is polarity, and then you have three beside that. So there's one aspect of three-fourths. Then within those four cards themselves, so you have four groups of three, one group of three is eliminated. Then when that final, that final four cards, you have the zero, which is eliminated, so you have a three out of four again. So let me get back to what I was talking about here. We get the final third, minor third in the diminished seventh, is the same as the distance between the relative minor and relative major in whatever chord you happen to be in. So if you use the key of F, which is one flat, and the relative minor, which is D, the distance, the red zone in that key would be from D to F. Now this red zone is vital. It's the fourth that is eliminated. This is a pattern we see all the way around. By the way, on the same fourth, there's 12 notes, but there's only nine. All intervals add up to nine. So for example, if you had a major seventh, you go up to a major seventh, you go down a minor second. You go up to a minor seventh, you go down a major second. You go up to a diminished seventh, you go down to a minor third, and so on. Major sixth, major third. It always adds up to nine and not 12. Why? Because that final third is eliminated, you see. So getting back to the diminished seventh minor chord, the distance between the relative major and the relative minor, this is also what I refer to in my book as the red zone. And this is the entry point and exit point of, remember I said that God is symbolized by the number three. So there's here we have three and four again. I have to do a diagram and put this on the website in the form of a diagram. So you have the need. I came up with these terms. I didn't know what to call them. So the need, we'll say God, and I'm not using this term God necessarily in a Christian or Jewish sense, because I left Christianity. If you want to read about that, why I left Christianity, go to the website 333.africa/amen. And you'll see there. But so I still use these Christian and Jewish references in my book, in my writings. I didn't want to go back and change everything over now. So where did I leave off now? I forget where I left off. Oh yes, we have the what I call the three is the number for God, not number one. I'm going to get into that in a bit here as well. So there's four aspects of the idea of God, or the concept of God, and you could say that two of these are the same, so there's really three parts. Now here we again have the idea of, so you could say that the need is one of those sides of God, the need for knowledge, the need for experience. In other words, for God to be God, God, we've been taught in church, God is omniscient, omnipresent, God knows everything. Well, to know everything, you have to experience everything. You can't get knowledge without experience. So that's why we, you and me, man, anthropos, the Greek word anthropos means man, we are God. We are the ones who do the experiencing. So I put down the need that God has a need for knowledge, otherwise God cannot be God. Now, whether this happens just once or is happening or it happens numerous times as a cycle, I don't know. But I what I call the need. And then when the knowledge returns back to the bosom, the egg, whatever you want to call it, that Amun, in ancient Egypt, you had Amun, who is the apparent side of God, and then you had also the hidden side of God. In any case, the knowledge would be synonymous with the need in a way. Okay, so you had the need, the need, and that need is inside of the, we'll say the egg, the bosom of God, and this is all it's just all allegorical, or there's no literal egg here, but you had the need, and that need had to break through that shell. By breaking through that shell, it entered into the material realm. Now, anything in physics, or in, at least in esotericism, that moves is masculine. Anything that does not move is feminine, because it's in the receptive mode. There's no polarity in God. I want to clear that out. That's why these nine numbers do not exist in reality in the true sacred realm of God. Okay? But just let me clear my throat here. But when you break through that shell, that imaginary shell, the domain, the residency of God, so to speak, the holy of holies, if you want to call it that, it then that the need then changes into the idea, what I call the idea, and now it's male. See, the idea that God is male or female is an impossibility, because inside that realm there's no polarity. But once it breaks out of that shell, so to speak, now it becomes masculine, because it's moving, and movement is always masculine. Then what I call the expanse, which is everything outside of that egg of God, must be feminine, but it's a dormant femininity. In other words, it doesn't, that just use the term space, let's say outer space, for example, to give you the analogy. When the idea breaks through, when it's the need inside, when it breaks out, then it becomes the idea. And it's not, the need is not positive, male or masculine or feminine. It only becomes masculine or feminine after it's outside of that, the realm of God, outside of that egg. Now it becomes the idea, as I call it, which is now masculine, because it's being received by the expanse. The expanse was not male or female before, but in the presence of that movement, of that masculine entity or condition, the expanse now becomes positive, because everything is relative. And this is the beginning of man, how we were created, the creation story, okay? And so that the need, the idea rather, had to gain experience. And I put some diagrams of this. If they're not on my website, they're in my book. I'll have to go through and put some more illustrations on the website. So that there's in the realm, the material realm, in the realm of Earth, in other words, the idea gets the experience. Then that experience becomes knowledge, okay? And you could say that, and then that knowledge has to return to the bosom of the Father, to use a Christian term, or just the bosom of Amun, the Egyptian term. And it loses its polarity when it enters back into the realm of Amun, okay? But you have the need, the idea, and so I go into this in more detail. I use the Christian motifs of Jesus and Christ as well. Again, I'm not a Christian, but I use these motifs that Jesus would have been synonymous with the idea getting experience, Christ would have been the experience. So you had Jesus, Jesus the experience, Christ the knowledge, Christ returns to the bosom of the Father. So there you have, you know, three ideas there. And so, and then we get into things such as contrary motion, because in physics, in university, they teach you that, you know, there's electricity and magnetism. Everything is based on a model, but I do not use that model. I use a model of polarity and contrary motion. Contrary motion is a principle in music, but it's not a polarity. Contrary motion is used in voice harmony to avoid what's called 55s or consecutive fifths and 88s, consecutive eighths. It also helps in other ways when you're harmonizing music. So the contrary motion And I do a diagram of this. I don't know if I put it on the website or not, but the experience cannot get back into the realm of a moon without contrary motion. Electricity and magnetism will prevent it from getting back. The reason it's prevented because electricity and magnetism are themselves polarities, and polarities only operates in the physical or material realm. It cannot transport you into the spiritual realm because it's a polarity. The only way you need a vehicle of transport, which is not polarity, which is contrary motion. Okay? So I wrote extensively in my book about what I've just told you in a few minutes. I went into great detail on this. So this is another difference between my model and Rodin's, but they're nonetheless complementary. And so let me go down my list here. Symmetry is important because symmetry, it's not just everything has to be mathematically perfect. There can only be symmetry. And if there's not symmetry, see, the Messiah chord is also perfectly symmetrical. And so you have to keep this in mind as well. Also, the numbers. We've been told in church, we've been told that God is one. And in esoteric numerology, it's commonly taught that God is represented by one. Whatever your version of God happens to be, that's not really an issue here. I disagree with that model completely. I say that only three can represent God. And three here, I'm not talking about in chronological terms. Despite the fact that I use 1, 2, 3 to convey the concept, as I just did with the need, the idea, and so on. This is not, because this all happens simultaneously. It's vertical, it's not horizontal. But I'm using this as if it was chronological to help you understand this concept. So we're told that, you know, God is one and God is unity. Well, one is not unity, because there's nothing to unite. If you have one apple, how can you unite one apple? If you had a box of apples, yeah, you could have one apple on the Chesterfield, another apple on the kitchen counter, another apple in the hallway. You want to unite them. You put them all together. Okay, you've united these apples. But you can't unite one. There's nothing to unite. The unity comes from the need, coming into the idea, getting that experience. Then you have that experience then becomes knowledge. That knowledge, that experience is then united back into the realm of a moon. Now you have unity. You've united these three things, you see. So three is unity, not one. Incidentally, numbers, as we understand numbers, only exist in the material realm. Another problem here is if you say that God is one, God is also 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, because you can't have one without the other. It's impossible. And if God is all and in all, then God must be one, God must be two, God must be three, if God is all, you see? And so because you can't have hot without cold, you can't have cold without hot, you can't have rich without poor. So if you're saying God is one, then you're saying that there's only one God. Well, it's all these other numbers then, how can that be? So God cannot be one. I say that God is three, but only as a point of reference, as this process, so that we understand this in the material realm. But this process involving three aspects is a vertical process because there's no time in eternity. It's a simultaneous process, you see. So, and also we see this, my other point of, remember I mentioned the zero at the top and the four on each sides, and the key signatures where you have, you have zero sharps and flats, which is A minor, C major, and then you have one sharp in its relative major minor, two sharps, three sharps, four sharps, one flat, two flat, three flats, four flats. Here's another idea that parallels Rodin's Enneagram, except, as I say, he goes one through nine. I do not. I go zero through four. But there's four on each side. That's eight. Zero is at the top. It's the same idea, right? But here's the second one where you have the key signatures, as I just explained to you, and I put this chart on my thing. But you see, again, the ratio of three and four now, there's nine, you see nine key signatures there. There's nine keys. There's not 12. We've been taught in music school there's 12 key signatures. This is not true. The final three, which are seven sharps and five flats, which are the same enharmonically, the same key. Then you have six sharps and six flats, which is the same key. And then you have seven flats and five sharps, which is the same key. But why do you have to have key signatures duplicated? Why not just choose one of those? So this is that red zone that's eliminated. Okay, these final three key signatures, they're not part of the process here, you see. And then, interestingly, they all add a 12. 5 and 7 is 12. 6 and 6 is 12. And then 7 and 5 is 12. The middle one, which is 6 sharps and 6 flats, is the same key, but there's a crossover because they're both 6. This is quite interesting. And this is the key of F sharp major, or D sharp minor, or E flat minor, or G flat major, which are the same key and harmonically. And if you want to play the major and minor chords, using only black keys, so the landing key, so for example the major chord, F sharp, A sharp, C sharp, and F sharp, and then the relative minor from that would be D sharp, F sharp, A sharp, and D sharp, and then the major keys, using the minor, the flats as well, you get major and minor from that. This is very interesting because you're only playing the black keys. And so, okay, let me go down my list here. Yeah, so the ratio, I talked about the ratio of 3 and 4. We also have something interesting with the 2 and the 3 here. So there's a cluster of 2 black keys and 3 black keys. And so 2 is symbolic of the material realms I've already mentioned about hydrogen, but 3, and I've just mentioned to you that process of 3, is representative of the spiritual realm. So in the keyboard, you have the material and the spiritual realm represented by the scales, right? And what's interesting is the spiritual encompasses the material, but the material does not encompass the spiritual. So 3 contains 2, but 2 does not contain 3. So if you did 3 divided by 2, your answer would be 1.5. So 1 plus 5 is 6, which is a whole number. But if you went 2 and tried to divide 3 into 2, you would get 0.666666666 ad nauseum, which is less than 2/3. And so, so this gives you a little bit of an introduction into the Messiah chord. There's a lot more to it than this, and I may do another recording at some point, but this gives you a little bit of an idea.